So what I'm going to try and do this evening, as we're obviously having a social after this, to try and summarise what I'm going to say in about 2 hours. So I'll have a go at doing that. So what I'm going to do this evening is I'm talking about Jesus asked a question to his disciples. It says this: who do you say that I am? And for us, as we begin to look into that, if you turn with me to Matthew 16, verse 13, we'll look at that in a sec. So while you're doing that, just this is just a notice that 15th of February in the evening, we are inviting with Three Rock, Brenton Brown, who's a worship leader from South Africa, who's going to be coming here to core with his band. And he's written songs like Praise is Rising, Your Love is Amazing, All Who Are Thirsty, Lord Reign in Me, all that kind of stuff. And he's obviously a man that God's used all over the place. And he's coming with his team from Belfast down to us for the Sunday evening. And hopefully he's going to be teaching as well as leading the worship. So I just want to encourage you to come and join with us. It'll be a great evening. Lots of people will be here to join with us. And it'll be a great time just to worship together, to hear God together. And he's got a real heart for worship and justice, meaning that our worship of God cannot just be confined to the church. It has to have a meaningful outworking in the situations we find ourselves in, because God didn't just bless his people. He wants us to be a blessing to others. So that's 15th of February in the evening, about 7 o'clock, for a couple of hours, for a wonderful time with their band. So please put that in your diary. We look forward to seeing you then. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to probably try and summarize what I was going to say and probably start halfway down my talk. So we'll see how we go. It's always difficult when you have to do this, but let's go. So Lord Jesus, we sort of pray now that you would help us capture those things which are on your heart. Lord, we're in awe of you as the living God. And Lord, we so don't understand what that means. But we pray this evening, Lord, that you open our eyes to your truth and that you would enable us to know more closely who you are and what you're about, and more purposefully, Lord, what you've called us to be. So open our eyes, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. So the question we're looking at this evening is the question that Jesus posed to his disciples, was this: who do you say that I am? And that's a question that Jesus poses to each one of us here this evening. And it's a question that demands a response. The thing about Jesus, you don't just get away with, oh, he was this, he was that. He actually creates an environment where we have to actually ask that question. And that's one of the exciting things about running the life course which we ran last term and we're running this term, is that we're looking at the life of Jesus to look at what he had to say and who he was. And through that, we ask the question again, who do you say that I am? I'm just going to jump ahead because I've got quite a bit of background here, but I just think because of time, we've only got about a quarter of an hour, so I'm going to try and jump ahead, which makes it a bit difficult. But a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the verse out of Luke 7, and this was a question that John the Baptist's disciples were asking Jesus. At this time, John the Baptist was in prison. He had been arrested. He was under Herod's prison. And he'd been the man who had prepared the way of the Lord. He's the one in the desert who was saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. He had declared that there's one that was going to come after him who he wasn't worthy of tying his sandals. And he was preparing a way for the people by preparing them for the arrival of Jesus through repentance. And when Jesus came on the scene, he was baptized by the Holy Spirit, the dove came upon him. God said to him, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. He was then led out into the desert, and then he started his ministry. And then what happened here was that John the Baptist, as he said, you have to become more and I become less. And in a particular situation, John the Baptist was moved across out of the scene. He was in prison, and Jesus came center stage. And the question that John is asking through his disciples, because he's in prison, is to Jesus, who are you? And the reply Jesus says to tell John, he says, when the men came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? And you see, John the Baptist was expecting the one who was to come would be the liberator. He'd be the one who would liberate the people of Israel from their Roman occupation. He would come like David the king. He would come like a liberator, as a mighty military ruler. But instead, this is what Jesus responds. Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. So Jesus responds to the question that John the Baptist's disciples are asking, was he left it for them to find their own conclusions? All he did was this, was describe the activity of God. He says this, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who are leprosy cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. See, Jesus was revealing to those who had eyes to see that Jesus the King, Jesus' kingdom would be very different from the kingdoms of this world. He wasn't going to come in the way that we understand through the world power, through military might. Instead, he was going to come through the kingdom of God. And there'd be one that would heal the sick, the lame would walk, those that have leprosy are cured, the deaf would hear. And so in this question, Jesus takes his disciples in this now, with his disciples, leading them out to a place called Caesarea Philippi to ask his question to his people, saying this, who do the people say the Son of Man is? And if you come with me to verse 13, I'm going to read this. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound on heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone he was the Christ. And so Jesus leads his disciples to a place called Caesarea Philippi, which is basically about 2 days' walk outside of Jerusalem, north of Galilee, and it's basically in the middle of nowhere, which just seems a bit of a funny place to lead them, because you expect, you know, just to be able to ask this question where he was. The reason why Jesus did this was twofold. Firstly, the coming Messiah was prophesied that there'll be a Messiah that is to come. It says this, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. And so the nation of Israel were expecting, awaiting the coming of a Messiah, which means the anointed one, the Christ, the one who would deliver God's people. And so at that time, Herod was in power, and he was hearing about what Jesus was doing and the activities of the kingdom of God upon the earth. And he was threatened by Jesus' ministry, and in Luke 13, we see that he's planning to kill Jesus. Secondly, the people of God are waiting for a Messiah to come. And so if Jesus had been seen as the Messiah, they would have crowned him and they would have inaugurated him to come as the King of the Jews. But Jesus' time had not come, because he was called to face the cross, to die, to be raised again, to go and be with the Father and eventually come again. So Jesus had taken his disciples away from the activity of Jerusalem, away from the people's expectations, into a place of quietness to take his disciples out, to pose to them this question. And so the first thing that Jesus says to him is, who do the people say the Son of Man is? So who do the crowds, what are the crowds expecting? And Jesus' reply is very simple. Some say you're John the Baptist, others say you're Elijah, and still others say you're Jeremiah. And you see, Jesus does not give us any opportunity, as I will explain in a minute through this quote. Who do you say I am is an incredible question that he asks each one of us here this evening. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? This is what C.S. Lewis does in challenging that. He says this. It's quite well known to some of you here. He says this. I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would be either a lunatic on the level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about him being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. It's quite an amazing quote, that, isn't it? And the question Jesus is saying this evening, who do you say that I am? And the three options that C.S. Lewis says, that he's either the Lord, he's God, he's the Messiah, he's the anointed one, he's the one who said he was to come. Or he couldn't have those claims and be just a good moral teacher. Because you said I'm God. I mean, if I walked into a local pub or something and said I'm God, hello, people do. My dad was a while back, he was, this is a good few years ago, one of the things he really prayed that he'd never be on a ward, one of those kind of wards where you go in there and it's kind of a mixed ward and you've got people who have got dementia and things and are kind of wandering up and down saying that they're Jesus and all these kind of things. And one day he ended up in one of those wards, he was ill, and he said there's a lady there who firstly kept taking her clothes off, which wasn't very helpful. And there's another person there who claimed to be Jesus. And so you can see what the claims are. They don't work. Or the other side, Jesus was a lunatic, so we can dismiss him. And so Jesus, in declaring, who do you say that I am, is posing a question. Am I who I say I am? Am I a lunatic, if that's the case? Or am I a liar? And so as Jesus then moves his question away from who do the people say that I am to a question to the disciples, who do you say that I am? And he says this, but what about you, he asked, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then he goes on to say, Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And so in this wonderful engagement with Jesus, Jesus must be so blown away by Peter's response. This is someone who gets it. This is someone. Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. See, Peter recognized in Jesus that he was the Messiah. He recognized in Jesus that he was the living God. He recognized in Jesus this was the Christ that was promised. And then God says to Peter, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And the first thing I see about this is an amazing thing. Firstly, Jesus called Simon by name, didn't he? He said, Simon, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. And I said to you a couple of weeks ago, it's an amazing thing, the revelation of God to us, that Jesus knows our name. And I shared the case of you, and I'll very, very summarize it. I was out in America, and I was out there for 3 months, or so. I was out there for a year actually, but I was out on this particular course for 3 months. And while I was out there, my mum and dad invited a prophetic guy around our house, a guy called Paul Kane. And he was invited for dinner, I think it was. And as he walked into my mum and dad's house in Chorley Wood, I was in America, he knocked at the door, my brother opened it, and he said, oh, you must be Jonathan. And my brother goes, no, actually, my brother Jonathan's actually out in America. I'm Tim. And so obviously quite a strange thing. And then he had dinner with them, and he was intrigued that he had my name and I wasn't there. And the Sunday night they had a meeting in the church, and again the Spirit came upon him, and he says, my name's Jonathan, and I want to prophesy. And the point is, it's not so much about that someone came in another country knew my name. It was the letter I got when I was in America. And I opened it up and I read it, and my mum told me the story of this person coming to our house. And he knew that he said, "Is Jonathan there?" And what blew me away about that was that Jesus knew my name. That the sheep know our voice, that Jesus knows us by name. And it's an amazing thing, this story. So Jesus says to Simon, he goes, "Simon." He says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah." So he knew him by name. He called him by name. And he says, "This is a revelation that my Father in heaven has given you. And because of this, I'm going to call you Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it." And you see, the amazing thing about this, when Jesus, in that interaction with Peter, Jesus was able to reveal something of what Peter was going to become. He was Simon, who was known as the reed. But Jesus was going to change him around as a person who's unreliable, blown around by every wind and teaching. And he was going to build him upon a sure foundation in order for him to minister his kingdom. And so in this interaction, we see here that Jesus' revelation of himself as the living God, as the Christ, was having an implication on Simon Peter, for he was going to build his church upon him, that he was going to use Peter in order to extend the kingdom of God. And that tonight is for us, each one of us here this evening, that he calls us by name, and he calls us for a purpose, in order to build his church. And it's through his church that God builds the kingdom of God. And then it goes on to say this. It says, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound on heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And what Jesus is referring to in this situation is this. He's referring to the ministry that Jesus was going to give to his disciples. It would be the ministry of the kingdom of God. And it's the ministry that Jesus was commissioned to fulfill through Isaiah 61. It says this, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to release freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners." So what Jesus is saying here to Peter and to the disciples, he's saying this, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed on heaven." And you see in Isaiah 61, we see the ministry of Jesus is binding up, and it's one of loosening. It's one of setting the captives free. It's one of releasing people out of darkness. And it's the kingdom of God that Jesus is releasing to the people of God. And through the anointing, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." God is giving his people authority and power in order for people to be set free, in order for the kingdom of God to be released upon God's people, in order that God's people can release the ministry of Jesus upon the earth. And so it's that God's intention is through God's people that we become people who exercise the ministry of Jesus. And it's interesting in Jesus when he says this, he goes, "I give you the keys of the kingdom." What is he saying here? If I can go back to this thing here. Where am I going? So he says, "I give you the keys of the kingdom." So what do keys do? Well, keys unlock, they open, they release. And Jesus, in the words of the disciples, releasing authority to the Jesus' disciples, because he's asking his people, his disciples, to do something on his behalf. And we see in Revelation 4 that it says that there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And what Jesus is saying this is, "I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I give you keys that unlock the window, the doors of heaven. I give you access to the kingdom of God. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In the authority and power that Jesus gives us, he gives us people the authority to bind on earth and also to loose on earth. So what does that mean to us as a people? Well, it means the ministry of Jesus is the ministry that God has released upon us. And I'm just going to conclude by just sharing with a story about how God binds up the brokenhearted and sets the captives free. A few years ago, my dad was out in, I'm not sure whether it's in Ireland. or whether it's in Holland or something like that. And he had been invited to speak at a meeting. And in this meeting, they had a time of worship, they had a time of teaching, and they had a time of ministry. And it was about 11 o'clock at night, and it was getting late. And my dad was a team there, and they're thinking, well, it's quite late this evening, so let's get ready to go. So they're just getting ready to go. And a lady came up to my dad and said, I've got a, I can't remember whether it's her brother or something, about 10 minutes away from here, and he's in a wheelchair, and his body's bound up, his arms are bound up, his legs are bound up, he cannot walk, but I just really believe this evening that I'd like you to pray with him. And my dad sort of thought, oh my gosh, that's the last thing I really want to do this evening. And so anyway, he said to her, well, if you can go and get her quickly, we can pray for her. So anyway, she went away. She went to the place where he was staying, picked him up, brought him in the car in his wheelchair, brought him into the building, brought him up to the front of the church. And as my dad saw him, he said, I'm going to raise this man up. And my dad was thinking, gosh, how on earth are we going to do this? Because this guy's in his wheelchair, he's all bound up, and he's all unable to move and unable to walk. And as he looked at him, he just felt that there was kind of unforgiveness in his life. So my dad briefly had a chat with the person, you know, and sort of said, you know, I've got this word that there may be some unforgiveness in your life. And as he said that, the man, it triggered that what had happened to him when he was a young man, when he was a child, baby in fact, he was born into a family, and he was the last one to come into the family. And because the family were quite poor, they put him to be adopted. And so over the years, he was had this real resentment and real bitterness for what had happened to him. And he really resented his mother for what she had done to him. And so over that period of time, he got more and more bitter, and it began to have effect on his health and everything. So anyway, my dad had that story with him. And so my dad had just invited the Holy Spirit to come upon him, invited the kingdom of God to come. And as we said, that God comes to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. And so as he prayed for him, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And as the Spirit came upon him, the man began to start saying under his breath, he began to forgive his mother. He began to forgive his family. He began to forgive all those who had been put him in a situation of great pain. And so the end of the evening, they put him back in the wheelchair. He was wheeled out of the building. He went back to where he was staying. And the team left about 12 o'clock, and then they went on their way. Anyway, later on the next day, they had a service in the morning, and they had a time of worship, they had a time of testimony. And as they were, as my dad was standing there ready to speak, someone who began to tug him like this. And as he looked at him, he saw the person that he had prayed for the night before standing before him, completely healed. And the man had said to him, when I was down on the ground, when the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, I began to see all the areas of my heart which I was really angry and really bitter towards my family. And as I began to release them, I got home to my bed, I was lifted into my bed. And during the night, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, and I experienced wave upon wave of love. And I experienced God's love for me. And as God showed his love to me, I began to feel my hands begin to be unbound. I found my legs begin to feel strong again. And this morning when I woke up, I climbed out of bed for the very first time. And I actually walked from where I was staying to the church, because I believe today that Jesus healed me. And so just in that story, is that the ministry of Jesus is the ministry to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. The ministry of Jesus is released when God's people minister the kingdom of God. The question that was said to Simon Peter and his disciples, who do you say that I am? And if Jesus is who he says he is, we have the keys of the kingdom of heaven, which means we're called as a people to minister in God's kingdom and to be those who can, we have the keys of heaven to unlock, to set free, to unbind, to loose. And that's really, I mean, it's a bit of a snapshot this evening, a bit of a flurry. But I just want to leave us with that is the ministry of Jesus. And just for 2 minutes before we go on our way for our social, I'm just going to spend a couple of minutes allowing the Lord to reveal something of himself to us this evening. And Lord, that's an amazing question that you ask each one of us on a daily basis. And our response to that question has a bearing on how we live our lives and who we say that you are. And Lord, I just want to pray again that you would release that question afresh to us this evening. Who do you say that I am? And in that interaction with Peter, the revelation that you are the Son of God was one that the Father gave Peter by opening his eyes and his heart to the truth. And Lord, I want to pray this evening that you open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to the truth of who you are. You are the King. You are the living God. And Lord, you're active upon the earth and you want to be active in our lives. And Lord, we just thank you that you can unbind us, you can forgive us, you can help deliver the pain in our lives. And Lord, I just thank you for that wonderful story of someone who's bound up, who is brokenhearted, Lord, who only could see the world through a particular way of pain and unforgiveness. And through your love, Lord, you broke into his life and you set the captive free, Lord. You unbound him. You enabled him to walk again. And I pray this evening, Lord, that you unbind each one of us this evening, Lord. That you unbind us from whatever the things we have in our lives which are holding us back. And I pray, Lord, that you set us free. I pray that we can stand and walk out the calling upon our lives, unfettered, Lord, by the things that have held us back. And so, Lord, I pray this evening that in our situation we find ourselves in, Lord, that you will help us see that you are a living God. And so, Lord, we come to you this evening, each one of us, and we'll just take a moment just to let that revelation to us to sink in, that he is a living God. He is who he says he is. He's the one who sets the captives free. He's the one who's preached good news to us, the poor. He's the one who sets us free from the prisons. He loosens our chains. And he has great favor upon us. And so, Lord, we just pray now, you just unloose that in us now.